here back with you on Music of the World. And with me live in the studio is Gautam Tejas, and he's the executive director of the Sangati Center for Indian Classical Music. And it's a pleasure to have you here in the KPFA studios, Gautam.
I'm very glad to be here.
All right. So, listeners, it's been a really funny experience dealing with Gautam Tejas, because I was under the impression he was going to sing live for us this morning, but he's educating me in this very moment about why he's not going to sing, and I want him to explain it himself, because he has a whole article about this, about recording and not recording.
Well, recordings of my music do exist. There's a few brief clips online on the Sangati Center website, but, you know, I've given dozens of concerts in the past few years, and these it's just a minute or two of recordings that are up. The article you refer to, I wrote something just to express something that I'd been feeling for a while a few months ago, and the title of it is On the Gathering Versus the Recording. And it's an article, and it ended up getting picked up as an op-ed in South India's largest English daily newspaper at the end of last year during a big music festival there. Information about it also is online. Anyway, the gist of it is that music, you know, what great-grandpa would have called music is something you either did or went to. And it was something that was situated in humans, not in an artifact like a LP or a tape or an iPod. And I should rush to say that I love recorded music. I benefit from it greatly. I think it's great. But it's a relic. It's not... I might go so far as to say, don't hold me to this, don't put it on my tombstone, but I might go so far as to say that it's not music. Music is what happens when people are the medium, and what happens when you're playing it, for example, on the radio, or when you're listening to a CD or whatever it is, that's a recording of music, which is instructive, can bring a lot of joy, but it's something different. And so I'm sensitive to that difference. I work a lot to put on concerts that that bring that feeling of the gathering, and, you know, music brings people in concert, and that's something I think that's one of its strengths. And so then as a performer, I really, I try to give that in my performances, and doesn't mean that I would never sing on the radio, but I prefer singing for, you know, for a group, or I don't know.
I think I'm really glad that this came up, because what you point to is something that African musicians have often told me as well, that music is something which is shared. Music is something which is celebrated amongst the people, and also in the Caribbean, of course. But here in the United States, you'll see people walking down the street completely oblivious to the pothole in front of them or the person they're bumping into listening to their iPod. So it sounds like what you're doing is you're trying to start a movement, Gautam, about music coming to life again, essentially.
Well, I'm not trying to start a movement. I'm a surfer, if anything. There's a, you know, this is what music has been for all of human history and continues to be. It's not, I'm not any kind of activist. I'm just doing something that people have been doing everywhere. And again, I have an iPod. I'm sometimes that guy tripping into the pothole.
But your main goal musically, and part of the Sangati Center mission, is to create a concert space where people are sitting literally right next to the performers, and there's no microphones in the space.
Yeah, I think there's a special effect that happens in that case. And I think that I'm not a crusader against microphones. Here I am right now speaking into one. And I think that they can serve a purpose and heighten a concert experience, but if in the average experience year to year of a musician or a listener, there's acoustic performances only rarely, then I think that, or not at all, something's missing in the environment, and I'm just trying to sort of be that part for people in my own small way.
And your own small way is very powerful. I've been to your concerts at the Sangati Center, and, you know, there's no stated spiritual focus, you know, and yet when people walk in, there's definitely a quiet feeling in the room. There's a feeling of honoring the music. It does feel kind of spiritual. Has anybody ever told you that?
Yes, I suppose it does get mentioned. Classical Indian music has a rich... association with a spiritual something, a world of spirituality. Some of it is explicitly devotional. Some of it is, it just takes dedication to the music, which is its own kind of religious practice. The Sangati Center is a community-based music project. If it's spiritual or religious, that's for others to say, I guess. I mean, some people who perform the music do take it as devotional music explicitly. Even if devotional music, you know, there's congregational group devotional music, and then there's individual, like professional musician type devotional music also, which, you know, has come to be called classical or art music or whatever. Terms we don't really need to use, but they get used. So the bottom line is, I think that the type of concert environment that I like as a performer is the type that I try to create as a host when other musicians are performing at the Sangati Center.
And let's get to you for a minute in terms of your singing, because you are steeped in classical Indian music, both north and south, even though your origins are South Indian, meaning the Carnatic aspect of the music. But you've had your head exposed to a lot of stuff, and jazz as part of that. You have a concert coming up at ODC in San Francisco in March, a Saturday afternoon. I think it's March 9th.
That's right, yeah.
At 3 p.m.
The reason why it's an afternoon concert is because they recently, their hall is beautiful, and it's lit by natural sunlight during the day. And I think that daytime performances there aren't as common as they should be. So this performance will make use of the fact that it's just a great place for a concert.
Okay, so listeners, we have one pair of tickets for that. It's going to be Saturday afternoon, March 9th, at the ODC Theater in San Francisco at 3 p.m. Do we have an address or a location, a general location?
It's 351 Shotwell, which is Shotwell and 17th, right next to the 16th and Mission BART station.
Okay, listeners, so we're going to take caller number 3 for a pair of tickets. And since you can't hear Gautam Tejas right now, you can only hear him talk about his music, I think you should go and see him live. And then there's going to be two other concerts we're going to talk about. But what I have queued up right now is Rashid Khan. And you were the person one time when I interviewed you years ago on another radio station. You introduced me to this piece. And I wonder if you want to mention anything about Rashid Khan.
Rashid Khan is an incredible singer, one among the contingent of modern day, like today, North Indian classical vocalists. And he has inspired me a lot over the years, and he has great technique, great vocal tone, and he has that special something, too. So I'm looking forward to listening to this again. Haven't in a while.
Bandish and Tintal.
कर दे कर दे कर दे करम कर कर दीजे कर दीजे करम कर दीजे खाजा मोइनु दिन के मैं जाऊं Kadama
Listeners, in the interest of time, we're fading out there. The amazing Rashid Khan from Bihar, India, the poorest state in India. And back with you live here on Music of the World, Gautam Tejas here with us. So for the listeners, is your singing kind of like that?
There are many dimensions to music, and in some of them, yes, it's kind of like that.
The tone of Gautam's voice, I would say, is similar, listeners, just because I've heard him sing. You started off doing classical stuff, but then you got deeper into this new direction. Do you want to tell us about your new direction and why you veered off from straight-up Indian classical?
What I do is straight-up Indian classical music. I veered off into new directions and then veered back again. New Directions was the formal name of a project that lasted about 2 years, from 2008 to 2010. New Directions in Indian classical music was essentially a project to render Carnatic classical music as free improvised music, pure music, as if the music needed purifying by me or freeing by me. It didn't. I learned that. So there's no way to further burnish a pebble that's been in a river that's been flowing for centuries. It's what it is, and it's wonderful, and I just basically try to hang on. Now, my concerts, there is an element of my personality and my individual itty expressed. And what it is, I'm by a standard of authenticity, I subject my music to that, and I try and, I mean, there's no, Indian music is, you know, is improvised in a lot of respects. It takes a lot of personal commitment, and so you can't set an upper bound on the integrity of the concert. You have to unlimit that. And so I write my own compositions, which are very, very closely tied to traditional repertoire. But, you know, traditional, what does that mean? Well, there's a tradition of writing songs, and there's also a tradition of singing songs that are not in your native language. And then there's another tradition of wandering bards who basically just got inspiration from wherever and sang. And anyway, I don't know where I fit into the whole thing, but I try for good music as best I can. I guess that's what I can leave it at that.
And I would say, you know, just as a listener and keeping it really simple for people who might be in the audience, there is something about the way you approach classical Indian music which has an edge, which has a feeling of you having lived in the United States for a really long time.
Since birth.
Right, which has a feeling of you having had your head open to a lot of jazz, Gautam, basically. That's what I feel when I hear you sing.
I have listened to a lot of jazz.
And you're going to be performing at Yoshi's with a bunch of jazz musicians.
That's right. Yes, I am going to be.
And that's going to be on March 6th. He's going to be singing with Henry Kaiser and some other
folks.
That's
right. Michael Manring, a wonderful bass player, Henry Kaiser, and Vinny Golia.
It's going to be off the hook. We're not going to give away tickets for that because that's going to be part of our Fun Drive experience next week. But we do have a pair of tickets for you at the Freight and Salvage, which is a great venue for you.
Wonderful venue.
Wonderful venue for to hear Gautam Tejas sing. It's going to be April 7th, which I believe is a Sunday night at 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really good sound.
Wonderful sound. That concert will be strictly acoustic. And the ensemble that will be accompanying me for that show is really good. Some people coming into town for that. So please come.
Okay, so that's again going to be at the Freight and Salvage, 2020 Addison Street in Berkeley, April 7th at 8 o'clock. I have one pair of tickets for that show, and I'm going to take caller number 7, 510-848-4425. And I have Nikhil Banerjee queued up, which is straight up sitar. And I think when a lot of people think of Indian music, like in the United States, they think of sitar as like the go-to thing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to just mention about your own relationship with sitar before we get to the tickets?
I know many good sitarists. We've hosted many good sitarists at the Sangati Center. Sitar is a wonderful instrument. Nikhil Banerjee has definitely... I love listening to Nikhil Banerjee's music. There's something very, we talk about devotion, you know, devoted music. I think his music expresses that he was devoted to his music. And,
Gautam Tejas, it's been a pleasure having you on Music of the World.
Sure.
All right. Stay tuned, everybody, for Against the Grain. We're going to listen to Nikhil Banerjee, and we're going to take those callers, 510-848-4425, for the show at the Freight on April 7th.
And good afternoon. You are listening to 94.1 FM KPFA here in Berkeley and 89.3 KPFB in Berkeley, 88.1 KFCF in Fresno, and online.